If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then dying means you meet Jesus and are ushered into an eternal life of incredible glory. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. And thank you for joining us today. Dying is something everyone does. To die without Jesus is to step into a bleak eternity with no guide, no Savior, no help, and no welcome. Without Jesus, eternity is a forever without any connection to your Creator. There is only a bleak, painful, eternal existence with no support and no help. Turn with us today to the New Testament Gospel of John, and here's Pastor Jim.
For the believer, a part of this gift of eternal life means that I look up and Jesus Christ Himself ushers me into His immediate presence. It means that I know for sure I will spend eternity with all of the loved ones who've gone before. Peter, James, Paul, David, Daniel, all those people are waiting just over the shore, and I will spend eternity without end or interruption with them forever. It means that I'll never stand before the bar of God's judgment and have Him open the book of my life, expose what He finds there, and judge me accordingly. None of that's going to happen to me. All of this is the result of the gift of eternal life. It's not just going to heaven in the sweet by and by. The gift of eternal life is a relationship with God, the one true God, and with God the Son, Jesus Christ, and with God the Holy Spirit, where they actually come and empower and change and energize and protect and provide and direct my life. That's not just for missionaries and preachers. That's not just for elders and deacons. That's a universal definition of what it means to have everlasting life. You have everlasting life when you receive the person, Jesus Christ, into your life. And you receive Him into your life by an act of faith, asking Him to come in, forgive you of your sins, take up His residence, and to work out in your life His perfect plan for your life. Now, you would think, frankly, everybody would want that. Everybody would want the guarantee, the peace, the joy, the purpose, the energy, the direction, the assurance, all of those benefits that are part of the package of a relationship with God through Jesus. You think everybody would want that. But Jesus Himself explains in this passage that very few people want that gift. There are people sitting in churches around the world today who don't want the gift of eternal life. They don't want it. They'll sing hymns, they'll even read scripture, but they do not want the gift of eternal life. They do not want the gift because the gift comes as a byproduct of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they don't want that relationship. They want to use Jesus to their advantage. They want to buy stock and then beg Jesus to bless the stock. They want to take a pill and then pray, Jesus, now make the pill work. They don't want to yield themselves to Him. They want to control Him. It's exactly what you read in these closing verses of this message. It says that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Note that, love darkness rather than light. It goes on to say that these persons hate the light. Hate the light. Hate the light. Perhaps this morning you are among those who refuse to come and yield to the light of truth. You resist, you reject, You want nothing to do with the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because your deeds are evil. Oh, now we wouldn't say that if we were looking at you. We'd say, my, you're educated. My, you look nice. You even smell nice. You talk nice. You do nice things. Wow, you are a nice person. But see, we can only see that limited facade that you put up. Behind that facade, you may be full of pride. You may be full of anger. You may be full of greed. You may be full of lust. You may be full of, name it, evil. And you don't want to give up your evil deeds. You do not want to give up the surrender of your life. You do not want to yield to God. You want to do it your way. You want to make the universe bend to your reality. Doesn't work that way. That's not the way it works. You are not God. I am not God. And we do not dictate the terms of reality. God does. And when my deeds and my attitudes and my habits are against God, when they are projected by selfishness and greed and lust, the quest for power and position and popularity, when those are the things that fill my heart and animate my schedule, of course I don't want Jesus Christ. Because your deeds are evil, you don't come to the light, you hate the light, and you deliberately choose to love evil. Now, there's something here to note. You are making that choice. You'll hear a debate from time to time. Can a sinner actually have the faith to trust in God? The sinner has the capacity to love what he or she chooses to love. And what you choose to love and what I choose to love shapes my will. And what I choose to love is an act of faith. You're believing in something if it's nothing more than your own importance. And that's an act of faith. And that same capacity to trust is the same capacity that God appeals to in the gospel. He says, you've trusted yourself, trust me. You trust your own opinions, trust mine. And that act of faith is not a good work. It's simply an act of response. Faith is the hand of the heart that opens and says, God, I want what you want. I receive who you are. You take the lead. I will follow. Come into my life and do whatever you need to do to clean me up. Now, Jesus said some startling things about this. He said, the road to hell is wide with big gates. And he said, many go in there. He said, the gate to eternal life is narrow, the road is straight, and few there be that find it. Why? Not because you got to climb up some hurdle to get in, but because you must choose to turn from the broad way which seems right to the way of truth and yield to him and step through that door. You must surrender your right to be right to him as the one who knows what is right. You must surrender your control to manage your own life to him as the one who is pledged to control your life to its maximum fullness and benefit for all eternity, starting right now. That's an act of trust. And many, 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 many people refuse to make that act. Now, notice in closing, the last phrase of this marvelous message. Jesus says, now those, if anyone lives, verse 21, by the truth, that person comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Don't miss that. I surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I give myself to Him. I trust Him to be my Lord and Savior. He comes into my life, and everything necessary, everything positive, everything wholesome, He energizes within me. He produces kindness in the place of harshness. He produces humility in the place of pride. He produces gentleness in the place of crudeness. He produces love in the place of lust. He doesn't destroy my life. He builds my life into a whole new person. That's why He called that experience the new birth. It's the experience where God Himself becomes the author, God Himself becomes the source, God Himself becomes the manager, the coach, God Himself becomes the director and controller of my life. He takes up residence inside of me. And if there's anything within me that corresponds to truth and to light, it's because He is producing it. He is working in my life constantly, continuously, to fashion, change, shape, mold, recreate me, transform me into the person He wants me to be. And the model for that person has already been demonstrated in the life of Jesus Himself. So, if you find a person that loves the book, loves the Bible, a person who genuinely loves prayer, a person who loves to worship, loves to be with other believers, a person who is walking in the truth, it's not because they all at once become something special. It's not because they turned over a new leaf. It's because the God in whom they trust has now been producing, controlling, transforming, changing them. And that is eternal life. Eternal life is the life of the eternal God being replicated in my personality, in my attitudes, in my goals, in my conduct, in my habits, in my thoughts. He works within me to produce through me, in me, and out of me those things that are like Him. That's the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's the model. That's what it looks like. When God has finished His work in the life of whosoever believeth in Him, when God has finished His work of eternal life, that individual sinner who believes on Jesus Christ will look like Christ, think like Christ, act like Christ, love like Christ, behave like Christ. That's eternal life. And it starts the minute you come to know Jesus Christ by faith as Savior. And it has a huge, huge number of ways that it manifests itself in the life of the individual. Now, did you know that when you quote John 3:16, that's what you're quoting? For God, that is the Creator Himself, loved the world in this way. Out of His love, He gave God the Son became flesh, showed us how we ought to be living, how God's life looks in human form, and gave us a pattern for what he wants each of us to be like. And then he crucified him, raised him from the dead, and in that crucifixion made a way for him to be able to come into each of our lives, forgive us of our sins, separate us from our guilt, set us apart to himself, come to live inside of our bodies, so that he can fulfill in us eternal life, his life. Looking like that. And you don't have to choose that. You'll perish if you don't. And that applies to men and women, presidents and peons, educated, uneducated, regardless of race, color, creed, language. The offer is universal. Whosoever believeth in the Son, by that act of faith, receives the Son, and the Son comes to transform that believer into a whole new person. And when God's finished, you'll look just like Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful gift we call eternal life. Thank you that it's something that begins today. It's not something that waits tomorrow. Thank you that it's daily. It points to and involves and includes everything about my life. What a difference it makes to know Jesus, to know the truth, to experience his life, and to have his life replicated in me. Nothing could be more contemporary, more immediate, more practical. I pray that this morning you'll speak to each of our hearts about our response to the truth, the one who is the truth. And I pray that our response would be obedience, love, service. Your head's bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. I wish I could sit down with each one of you now, look into your eyes and say, honestly, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is he changing and transforming your life? Are you experiencing God's life and the transformation of that power in a daily habit? Are you becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ each day? If so, to him be the glory. That's what eternal life is. And it's only going to get better and better and better. As I look into your eyes, I would ask, have you committed your life to him? Do you have the gift of God's life, eternal life? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know you're on your way not only to heaven, but that God himself is walking with you and working in your life and changing you to become just like him? Is there anything you love more than Jesus? Is there anything you want more than to be like him? Does your definition of personal success include anything higher than I want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. Nothing else is more important to me. That's what it means. That's what it means to have the gift of God's life, eternal life. And that's what that gift, the gift of the Son, is designed to accomplish in your experience and in mine. Please, if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, do it now. Just tell him you're a sinner. He already knows it. Won't shock him. Thank him for dying for your sins on the cross. Thank him that he's alive from the grave. And commit yourself to him personally right now. Ask him to come into your heart and change you and make you like him. Father, as the world around us changes from autumn, fall, winter, and there's an appearance of death in the leaves falling, the grass turning brown, within our hearts, within our lives, it's always spring, it's always summer, for the Son himself lives in our hearts. Help us to see the sharp difference between those who are perishing and those who are living, those who are already in a state of condemnation and destruction and death, and those who are forgiven, being transformed, and being glorified. Help us to choose eternal life and to know that that choice is actualized. It's made possible to us through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and him alone. I pray, Father, that each of us as we leave will be sure of that relationship. And if not, may we be certain before we leave this room that we are indeed among those who have the gift of the Son and with him the life of God. Dismiss us to talk about these things, to rejoice in them, and to experience them daily, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Having accepted Jesus as Savior, the goal then becomes to be like him. The growth that comes following that decision is powered by God's Holy Spirit living within, and the way life is lived starts to change. Things that were once irresistible become distasteful. Things that once seemed boring become exciting and invigorating. God will change you from the inside out, but only if you will trust him. Why not do that today? These daily lessons are available on single CD, so if you would like a copy for your own home library, they are available. Today's lesson is called Living Above Limits, and for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you this single lesson. Our complete series on John 3:16 is available in a 3-disc set for your gift of $18 or more. We have several ways you can order. First, call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or just order on the internet when you log on to rightstartradio.org. Our website features an archive of past programs as well as complete uninterrupted sermons. And this daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast on iTunes. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085. If you're a regular supporter of Right Start, thank you. We depend on support just like yours to keep this program coming your way. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening today. I hope you'll plan now to join us on Monday at this same time for our next edition of Right Start.